Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Just, as add my welcome to Sam's. It's great to have you with us. It's good to be worshipping together. I am Joe, as Sam said. I'm part of the eldership team that leads Grace Church across our four sites. So we've got here in Haven, with Chichester, Bognor, Midhurst, and we've got one eldership team over those four sites. And we in Haven are the youngest site, as many of you will know, but we are the youngest site. Can anyone give me a guess how many weeks do you reckon we have been going? 60? Pretty good. Any advance? 74, 58. This 63 is, so this is our 62nd Sunday, because West Point, we take a week out. So that means we've done 62 times of worship together, 62 sermons, 62 setups and set downs, and who knows how many teas and coffees. It means 186 kids works, because we have three kids works, and you take three off, because we also didn't do it on Christmas. So I've done the math anyway. 186 kid works. That's a lot, isn't it? It's been a fun journey to get from where we were, to this point today. And I love being multi-site. I love being part of this multi-site of Grace Church. And so yesterday, those of you may be able to get along, just a great way of seeing it's the benefit of being part of a multi-site church, so we can go and do great big events like that and have so much fun together. So it's great to be part of the other sites. And yet also, I do like having our own kind of expression here in Haven, and we're our own site together and our own unique way of working that out. And as elders, we kind of get together every week, but then we spend like a day together every so often. And it was a while ago, back in the autumn, I think, we were just chatting and felt like actually it'd be good to have an opportunity to speak kind of directly into where our individual sites are at, and just be able to preach into that, really. And today is a result of that. So I've got an opportunity to just share my heart for Grace Church in Haven. And so I'm really excited about that. I've been praying and seeking God for what he wanted to say to us this morning. And firstly, I just want to say I appreciate you all a great deal. I love you all. And you tell me, 186 kids works, it doesn't come with no effort. That, it's amazing what everyone's done, and I'm so grateful for that. So I just want to take a chance to say that. But today, really, I felt God wanted to communicate two things to us. Firstly, he wanted to remind us who we are together, and just remind us of who we are, and also remind us what we do, what we're here for as Grace Church in Haven. And what we do, one of the, I think, unique things about churches is that what we do flows out of who we are, and not the other way around. So most, if you take a club or something, if it's a book club or whatever, what you do brings you together. And then, but it's for us, actually it's who we are that brings us together. And then what we do comes out of that. And I'll explain what I mean a bit more about that. So this morning, I'm talking in worship, really. That's what we do. And that flows out of who we are. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make us who we are to worship, but it flows out of who we are as God's people together. And what I've called this message this morning is we are his church, and we declare his praises. We are his church, and we declare his praises. That's who we are. We are his church, and what we do is we declare his praises. And so if you're part of us this morning, then this is who we are. It's what we're about. If you're not, or maybe if you're looking in, then this would be a helpful thing to think, oh, who is this church? What are they about? That's what you're going to get. And I'm going to be in 1 Peter 2, as it says up there. So if you've got a Bible, then do grab it out. I'll put it on the screen. But I think actually today, if you do have a Bible or a device or whatever, it's worth getting it in front of you. I'll be kind of back and forth in the passage. I was thinking about what God wanted to bring, and I was thinking, oh, maybe this. I came to this passage, and it was like, yes, this passage. You know what I mean? This is, I feel God wants to speak to us through. And I think this morning, I don't know, it might be a little bit different to my kind of normal style, a bit more chatty in a way, almost like a almost like a Bible study. Just this is what God's speaking, and we're working through that together and sharing my heart in that way. So it's worth having open, but I'll put it up. 1 Peter 2, we're going to be reading from 4 to 10. It says this. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So this passage talks about those things. It talks about what the church is, who the church is, and what it does, who we are and what we do. And this passage is primarily, to clarify, talking about the universal church that all Christians are part of. This is who God's people are in that sense. But it's also, I think it's true to say that we here in Havant are a local expression of that. And we are that worked out in reality. We don't, you know, all every Sunday get together with every Christian in the world in some conveniently located place, not that there would be one, and gather. We the way that universal church is worked out is in local expressions like this one. And so it's kind of true, all these things are true universally, and I think they're also true in a way for us locally as well. And there's a bunch of ways of describing who we are in this passage, and there's kind of only one thing that we do. We're going to look at who we are, looking at phrases and thinking about what they mean. We are his church. Won't you say that with me? We are his church. There you go, it's in ya. Two things to emphasize in these, really. Hopefully it's obvious that I want to emphasize the we, and that we are together. I could have just said we are his church, but that would be less fun, and also not, you know, get the point across as much as well. And the other thing is the kind of we, and also as you read through these things of who we are, is the community, and then also Jesus is at the center of everything. However you describe us, Jesus is at the center. You can't take Jesus out of who we are. We've ceased to be who we are. Bunch of things then we are. Who are we? We are a spiritual house. Verse 5 says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. And two things to draw out of this as well, what that means. So firstly, we are living stones built on Jesus, the living stone. So we together are living stones built on Jesus, the living stone. And you must have heard it said, the church is not a building, and the church is the people. So when, you know, churches are not buildings, churches are the people of God together. And that is true. Then the confusing thing sometimes is that the church is like a building. And so there's a kind of an analogy, an illustration. The church is not a building, but it is like one. So Jesus is the cornerstone, which is the stone everything's built on. You take out the cornerstone, it all falls apart. We sing it, don't we? Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. You get it. Jesus is the cornerstone that it is all built on, and everything is held together by him. And we are built on him like individual living stones together. So the church is not like a big crowd of people. So if you have got just a massive crowd and you take out one or even a handful of people, you kind of don't notice. And it does, you know, it's just all a bit, well, whatever. The church is like a building in that if you take a couple of bricks out, if you take a couple of stones out of a building, you notice there's a hole in the wall. And it's a different thing. We're like living stones built together on one another, us together. We're not lots of little Christians individually, or little, you know, the Bible calls talks of Christians as those who are in Christ. So we're not like lots of little Christs individually. No, we are a household, a house together, leaning on one another. And that is who we are as a community. And again, that works itself out as the universal church, but also smaller into then, I think, Grace Church. So the universal church is a house together. And then Grace Church is like a house within the house. And I think Grace Church Heaven is kind of a house within the house within the house. We together are in this room. We are a spiritual house built on one another in real terms, leaning on one another. We all are different. We're all different stones and we all contribute differently, but we all contribute. We're all part of the house. And that second meaning of spiritual house is household. So like a family is a household. In fact, blood relatives in the sense that we are all together by the blood of Jesus. It is Jesus' blood which brings us together. And we are a family. That's an important thing to emphasize when we think of the church. We, as Christians, have been adopted into the family of God. We've been adopted as God's sons and daughters. So it doesn't make sense to say that you're not part of your family, does it? You can't just say, oh, no, I can. Now, you might live like that, but you ultimately, every person who has ever been born has got a biological mum and a biological dad, and you can't take away that link. I appreciate that happens, and it's sad when families live like they are separated, and I'm sure there are many people who are in that situation today, and that's sad, but ultimately, you can't leave the family. You can't just say, oh, I'm not that. And it's the same with the church. You can't just say, oh, no, I'm not part of the church. I'm a Christian, but I'm not part of the church. Well, that doesn't make any sense. It's your name. It's who you are. And today we are going to, again, in this local expression, I'm going to pause and we're going to welcome some people who have become members at Grace Church, which is great. So if Sue and Monique and Candice would come up, that'd be great. Why don't we give them a clap and welcome them? I'm just going to get them up and then pray for them. So these guys have joined Grace Church in Havant and become members. And so that is something to celebrate. And they are, in a new sense, now part of this house within a house within a house. All right. So I'm going to pray for these guys and do pray with me. This is not just kind of me in my anointing praying. No, this is just the church together praying and welcoming and celebrating the family of God together. Good? Yeah. Cool. All right, let me pray with me. Father, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you so much for these wonderful people who have joined Grace Church in Havant and become members. And we just are so grateful. I pray, Lord, that you would bless each one of them richly. Would you bless Monique and Sue as well, and also Candice, and just have your grace on them. I pray as they join us, Lord God, would there be such a family feel, Lord, like that household. Would we become a house within a house within a house where we are built on one another? Would these three women be built into who we are, and would we just be kind of interdependent on one another? I pray, bless them and give them just a joy in being part of this, and would we serve them so well, Lord God. It's all for you and your kingdom and your glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Go on and give them another clap. That is exciting, isn't it? It's good. Do you know, if you want to become a member of this local expression of the family of God, then there's forms at the back. Just grab one afterwards and kind of fill it in, and then we'll have a chat, and that's it, really. That's all there is to it. Becoming a member, it's not like the only way of committing to this local church. You know, there's other ways. You can just serve on teams and things like that, and just coming along to stuff. But it is one way. It is a way to say, yeah, I'm here, I'm in, I'm part of this house. So why not is the question. Another thing we are, who are we are the church. We are a holy and royal priesthood. So verse 5 and verse 9, bring that out. What does it say? Verse 5 says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. And then verse 9, but you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood. It's in there. So I am an elder of this church. I'm kind of an overseer of it, part of that team. But you get that that in no way gives me kind of any added or extra authority or access to God. So like, you know, like when we're just praying, it's not like, oh, let's get the anointed elder to pray because he's got a special access to God. It's rubbish. We are all in the same boat. In the Old Testament, that's a little bit how it worked. There were priests, and they were the ones who would come before God on behalf of the people. And that's not been totally done away with, but it has been totally fulfilled in Jesus, who has become the great high priest and has done it once and for all and has become the lamb, the sacrifice himself, as we've been singing. And he has dealt with any sin, any barrier between us and God. And so now we get direct access to God. We're all a priesthood together, minus the dresses, I guess, and the robes we don't have to wear. But we are a priesthood together who comes to God as our Father. Just as Jesus comes to his Father God, now we come like that together, as a priesthood together. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you cannot come to God as you are if you have leant on Jesus and given him your life. You can come as you are. So we come together as a community of priests. That's who we are together, a priesthood joining together to worship. That's who we are. And we come to worship Jesus. Again, there's that community thing, and there's Jesus at the center as well. Also, we're a chosen people. Verse 9, but you are a chosen people. God has chosen us to be his church. Now, we're not a choice people. No offense. But it's not like we're a choice, you know, a choice hotel or something, or a choice steak, a choice bit of beef. It's not that. We've not been chosen because of any skill that we may be able to bring to the table. We're chosen by grace. No other reason. We are chosen by the grace of God. And if you read through that passage, there's an interesting kind of interplay between chosen and rejected. And it kind of props up. So let me just read it out and be listening. It's kind of, you can miss it if you don't hear it, but it's just lots of interplay there and contrasts. So as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people." And it's just this, oh, chosen, rejected. And we as humanity rejected Jesus and said no to him ultimately, but God chose his son Jesus, and Israel was chosen by God, the people of God, but then they rejected God and chose other gods in favor of him. God has now chosen his people to be his church. Just like Jesus was chosen, now he says you also are chosen. And Jesus was called precious. We are chosen and called precious. The difference is we are chosen by grace. You know, there's nothing in us, again, that God would choose us. But we are chosen and called precious. My sister, when she had her second little girl, gave her the middle name, Precious. And when she told me, I was a bit like, oh, it's nice. And I thought, oh, but I hope there's no preciouses here today. Let me hear me out, actually, the point I'm making. But then, genuinely, I remember I had my first child and I held this little fragile baby in my arms. And I thought, no, I get it now. There's no other word. There just isn't a better word to describe how you feel about your baby child. You're precious. Just, I'll do anything. Anyone tries to get anywhere near you, I'm getting in between you and them and I'm going to have them. And you're precious to me. And that's what God says of us, his people. We're precious in his sight. Chosen. That is God with us, precious in his sight. Again, there's community together. We're the chosen people together. We're chosen by grace. Jesus has made a way for us to be the people of God. Also, we're a holy nation. Verse 9, you're a holy nation. We hold the same citizenship, as it were, as Christians. We are all together a community. It's like we're a community of foreign people living in a foreign land. Do you know what I mean? And so if you lived in Mongolia or something, and you met a fellow Brit or wherever there'd be some kind of camaraderie, and you think that we're of the same citizenship. It's the same for us as Christians. We live essentially in a foreign land. We're not of this world now. We are destined for the kingdom of God, and yet we have this together, this connection as citizens of heaven together. So again, we're not just a group of people who are giving united expression to our faith. It's like, oh, let's get together and do that. No, we are together as who we are. We are brought together by who we are, and then we do what we do. Church fellowship, it's not like an optional advantage to being a Christian. It's not like, I've become a Christian. Shall I join a church? No, it doesn't make sense. You are part of the church. And so to give expression to that in a local community like this one just is the obvious thing to do in that sense. Again, Jesus and community in there. We are God's special possession. Verse 9 again. What's your most prized possession? You know, the thing that you would, in a house fire, what would be the first thing that you would go and save? Well, the church is God's. This is prized special possession. And we belong to him. So we are his possession. We belong to God as the church. And also, we belong in the church. That is where we belong. So to say you don't belong in the church, again, it just doesn't make sense. You are God's possession, part of his church. And we talk, don't we, about you can come and belong before you believe. That's right. Everyone can come and belong to part of this community in a way and be part of this family. And yet, if you do come and believe, you have no choice but to belong. You kind of do, are part of God's people. That's who you are. You are part of the church. And then we are recipients of mercy as well in verse 10. Once we had not received mercy, now you have. It's similar to chosen, really. We are unworthy recipients. We don't deserve what God has given to us, but the grace of God brings us together. And to be any of those, to be a spiritual house, a holy and royal priesthood, a chosen people, it is a gift of mercy from the hand of a gracious God, remarkable God. And so we, again, are community together because we are those who have received mercy, and we've received it from Jesus and by the blood of Jesus. So we are a community together, a local expression of the universal church. We are together. It's not about me or about any individual or how you feel about your relationship to God. It's about the church, and you and I are part of that. And if you are a believer, you are part of the church. You're built on Jesus. We are his church together. We are together because of who we are, people who have mercy, and then we do what we do. It is out of that that we find expression. And ultimately what we do is just pretty simple. We declare his praises. So we do gather together to do more than just hang out. Do you know what I mean? It's not just, oh, let's just get together and, you know, we're Christians, let's hang out. We come to do something, and that is ultimately to worship, to declare the praises of God. And there's lots of ways that are described just in that passage of who we are. Again, all built on Jesus, all on community. And there's only really kind of two ways that talk about what we do. So verse five again, and in verse 9. So you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. And then to do what? Offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then end of verse 9, God's special, but you are chosen people, royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Why? To do what? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So what we're called to do as church is declare the praises of God. There's kind of two things there, but really they say the same thing. It's to worship. That is what We do it. It's that simple, really. What do we do? What we're here to do? Worship God. Declare his praises. It can be easy, I think, to think that it is mission. What does the church do? Oh, we do mission. I think I used to think that. And you could probably say that's why we do multi-site. Ultimately, it enables us to be on mission in our local communities, be more effective and more visible in the communities that we represent. It's for mission. But it's not why we do church. Why are we a church? Well, to worship God. Why do we do church? And I think I used to think it was mission. And then I read this book. This book is by a guy called John Piper, who's one of my guys I like to read a lot. And it's a book on mission. So, you know, you read books often, and it can be on, like, how to brush your teeth or something. And the first chapter makes it out like brushing your teeth is the most important thing you will ever do in your whole life. It is your destiny to brush your teeth the best. Whatever it's talking about, it's like it gets overexcited and talks. And so I'm thinking a book on missions is going to be all out mission. Mission is the most important thing. Read this first paragraph. I just remember reading it. And I'll read it out. It kind of talks about, and again, it's a book on mission. I don't think any paragraph has ever struck me more. It says, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church, worship is. I read that. I was like, flip. Like, what? That just, it kind of blows my mind. And now I have to find my place again. Oh, look at that. It landed nicely. Mission is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Mission exists because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not mission, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, mission will be no more. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. I was like, man, worship. That is what we're here for. It's what the Bible says. What does the church do? It worships God. What does Grace Church haven't? What do? We worship. That is our calling. And there's kind of three ways that we declare his praises. I'm going to look at, firstly, to him. We declare his praises to him. You know, when we sing our songs and we do our time of sung worship, it's not just like a warm-up, or it's not kind of this is your chance to emotionally engage with God. It's just it's the foundation of who we are, and what we do is to worship God. And really, actually, all of it is more fluid. Our tea and coffee is part of our worship in that sense. This preacher's part of declaring God's praises to him. Worship's the center of what we do. We tell God how good he is and how much we love him and we make much of him. Ephesians 5:19-20 says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Declare his praises to him, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You read the Psalms, like it's all kind of worship, really. There's two types of worship. There's praise for who he is and who God is, and there is praise for what he's done. You kind of recount the things he has done, and it is all declaring his praises to him. Our worship, it's got to be God-focused. It's got to have Jesus at the center of it. The passage says that's why he has brought us into the church. To declare his praises. What's your role in the church? Well, it's to worship God. Declare his praises to him and talk about him and not talk about us. It doesn't mean that we can't sing songs that talk about our response and what we do in light of what he has done. But it means that the point of all our worship is to really get our eyes off ourselves and onto God. And to cease to think about ourselves and our worries and think, oh yeah, but God, declare his praises to him, to marvel at his beauty and glory. Behold your God. That's the goal of our worship. So when we contribute in worship, you kind of bring something at the front. You know, it doesn't have to be prophetic, particularly, necessarily. It could just be a prayer. It could just, you know what, my heart's just welling up in praise. I just want to come and pray. And the mic's just really there so we can hear you. So it's just a way of being part of that and welling up. So you can just come and pray, declare his praises to him. It can just be a passage maybe. I just feel this passage talks about how good God is. I just want to read it. And that's it. Just read it and sit down. You don't have to be prophetic. Also, I do contribute. Because contribute, when you come and bring a contribution, it's just not the best word. I'm not saying there's a better one. But what it gives the impression is that if today you feel like contributing in worship, come and bring to the front. That's not right. We all contribute every week in our worship. We are all part of the worship. We are his church. And it's not the guys who have got a mic today or whatever, and they've got a guitar. No, we all are contributing and declaring his praises to him together. We also declare his praises to one another. The verse I put up from Ephesians kind of makes sense. You think, yeah, that sounds like a Bible verse, right? It sounds like the kind of thing you'd find in the Bible. Sing, make music from your heart to the Lord. The verse before it, I think in our culture, it may be a little bit more surprising, slightly different emphasis. The verse before it says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. So we sing praises to one another and declare his praises. We sing his praises to one another, declare his praises to each other. The problem with sitting in our neat little rows, as we do, is that it can become a bit like me and God. I come and find my seat, and it's me and God, and I'm worshipping God. And that's, yeah, you can do that in the bathroom, can't you? You can do that in the car or wherever. You can get before God on your own, and that's worth doing. And so some churches will have, they'll sit in circle, a big circle, so that it's easier. Like, well, no, we're in this together, it's community. And, you know, I get that, but I'm not so sure. We do put a great deal of effort into curving the rows. I hope you've noticed. It seems silly and arbitrary, but it's just a little way of just trying to get us aware that we're in it together. It's not just kind of sat in our straight rows and we're all turned up and it's between me and God. No, we are singing and declaring his praises to one another. We come together for that. Our worship, do you know, it can be fun. It can be communal. It doesn't have to be intense in that way. I'm not saying it's bad to be intense in some times, but it can be communal. We can, you know, we can clap together. We can dance. You can move. You can get out of your chair. You can talk to someone else. You can high five each other. Or, you know, you can do whatever. It doesn't have to be intense. You can cry. You can hug. You can have fun. It's a community thing. Singing psalms to one another, talking about, oh, isn't God amazing? Declaring his praises to one another. We've all got a part to play. Do you know, you can lead worship from the congregation, as it were. And you can lead other people and say, oh, I'm going to go for it and encourage those around me to go for it today. That doesn't make it fake. The opposite, really. It makes it real. So I want to declare his praises, and I want everyone else to do it. I'm going to lead worship from where I am. It's not just those who have a guitar that lead worship. We sing to one another. And it's not just about singing, though. This is discipleship and community together. We come together to talk about how amazing God is and to talk about maybe where we're struggling to see that. You know, I've got this difficulty in my life, and we support one another to declare his praises to one another. So, yeah, but God is good. Remember, God's got you. And I know that life's tough, and that is good to be honest with God, but God is in control. It might not feel like it, but he is. You see how that is declaring his praises to one another. You're talking about how good God is to one another. We come together to do that. We support one another. We don't have to be weird about it. Do you know what I mean? And go and sing in each other's faces in a weird way. But we don't have to be weird about not doing it as well. Let's do this together. We're a family that supports one another in our mission, which is ultimately to worship God. And then also, we declare his praises to others. And so one of the two things that I felt God particularly wants to communicate to us, actually. So two things I really feel God put in my heart is, first is the we. God wants to reaffirm our sense of we-ness together. Not like a little, I don't know, I'm not going Scottish there. But, you know, togetherness, God wants to reaffirm that. And then also, I just felt God wanted to kind of talk into the naturalness of mission to the believer. So I'm not undermining it, what I said a minute ago, but I'm just trying to make it feel natural. So Grace Church Haven, we're over a year in, right? 63 weeks in. And so I think like the honeymoon period of being on mission is kind of over. What I mean by that is when you start a new site and everything is new and you're like, well, where do we put the chair? You know, and everything, it takes effort in that sense. You know, it's kind of takes work, and but you know it's worth it. Well, because we're about the mission of God. We're gonna tell Haven about how God loves them, and that's what we're doing. And you know that's why you're putting it in. The kind of risk of as we become more settled and it all becomes a bit more natural, and less effort, which is good, is that we think, oh, this is nice now. We can just relax, and this is our new home, and we just hang out together, and we can forget a bit more easily that we are on mission. I just feel God wants to remind us to kind of go again and enjoy the mission that we're on. The mission of telling others, I just think it's more natural and it's less difficult than we often think. It's not like being in Fight Club, you know what I mean, where it's the first rule of Fight Club, don't talk about Fight Club. It's the second rule of Fight Club, don't talk about Fight Club. And yet your whole world is changed by joining this club, but you just don't tell anyone. It's not like a guilty pleasure we have. It's just, we love this. We love Jesus, and we just live like that. And we don't be weird about it. We just talk to people about it. We talk about what we love. We do that. And so we talk about that with others. The goal of mission as well, again, I don't think worship and mission, I'm not trying to put them against each other by any means, quite the opposite. The goal of mission is to get other people to declare his praises. That's the point. The point of mission is worship. It's like the fuel how we do it. How we do mission is by declaring his praises ourselves, and we cherish God. We don't tell other people to cherish something that we don't cherish and treasure. We worship ourselves, and out of that flows mission. And that's kind of what that book goes on to talk about. I would even potentially go one step further and say that worship kind of is mission, or at least it can be. Certainly mission is worship. And I was trying to think, like, how do you come up with a clever word? Like worship or mission? But neither of them are great, are they? It's kind of, they're not as disconnected as we think. As we tell others about how we love God, we are worshiping him. We are declaring his praises, which is worship. We love God, and we don't need to be weird about telling people about that as we engage in conversation. I think as Christians, we can often think, oh yeah, mission. The way we tell people is to be like, oh, by the way, I'm not supposed to keep it a secret that I'm a Christian, and so I just thought I'd just tell you, and maybe you want to come to church, because one of the things I'm supposed to do as a Christian is tell you about that and invite you along. Obviously no one ever does that, but that can be kind of the mindset, rather than just being like, yeah, I mean, just, I love God, and just, God calls me precious. Like, I call my baby pretty. That's amazing. And God is the foundation of my life. I love building my life on him. And it'd be great. You should do it too. And you're just telling people who you love, about your heart. I loved what John Groves, when he was here a few weeks ago, talking on testifying. Do you remember talking about, you just testify to what you have seen. You don't have to come up with all the genius apologetic answers. You just say, well, what I know is that God has blessed me, and I love him, and he's amazing. And that is declaring his praises to them. That £1 car wash that we're doing in Bognor, we've done in Chichester, absolutely nails it. Because it just, the principle, right, you put up £1 car wash, you say, I'll come in, people think, oh, that's a bargain, I'll do that. You give them a free coffee and free tea and biscuits while they're waiting, and chat to them, and they think, oh, that's great, it's amazing. They come to give you a pound, and you give them a pound, and you say, no, £1 car wash, we give you a pound. We just want to tell you how God loves you, and we just want to bless you. God loves us, he's blessed us, grace upon grace. We just want to give to you as much as we can give to you and bless you. You see that, how that is declaring his praises to others. You are saying, God's blessed us. That's it. Telling people how God's blessed us. That is declaring his praises to others. excited. I'm so pumped for this kids' sports party we're doing in Havant. Just want to add my kind of encouragement to get involved in that. We had a meeting about it the other night. It's going to be great. It's going to be good fun. The point is we just want to bless people. We're not going to be kind of shoving anything down their throat. We just want to bless them and say, yeah, I just want to bless you because God's blessed us. Simple as that. We are trying to come up with some kind of creative way to illustrate how God has blessed us in some sports day theme way. So if you have any genius ideas, lose your girl, let her know. And we want to just illustrate how God has blessed us to people. We're going to be doing Alpha in September. We are still seeing stuff of what God did when we put on Alpha last September, just to explore Christianity in that sense. Be thinking now, who can I go and declare God's praises to? Who can I go and say, oh, do you know what? Love God. Why don't you just go and explore for yourself if you could know God? I get to call God my Father. Do you know what I mean? Just be thinking now and just make mission easy. It's not hard, and it's all what we're here to do is glorify God. We declare his praises to him, to one another, and to everyone we come across as well. We declare his praises, and then we leave the results up to God. That's it. And again, that's kind of what John Groves was talking about. It's just, you just tell your part, give your heart, tell them how you love God, and then it's up to God what he does in their heart, and what, up to them how they respond to that. But that's all we're called to do, is just declare his praises to everyone. Let the nations be glad is the prayer. So we are his church. That's who we are. We together. It's not some of us. It's not just one or two of us. We are his church and we declare his praises. That's what we do. What we do flows out of who we are. Because we are recipients of mercy, we worship together. We are in Jesus and we worship Jesus. And so Jesus, just to point to him again, he is our cornerstone and he is our savior. What does that mean? He's our cornerstone. He holds everything together. We can only approach God because of Jesus. It is all in him. It doesn't mean we only worship Jesus in the sense that we don't worship the Father and the Holy Spirit, but we do only worship because of Jesus. We only have access because of what he has done. And he's our savior as well. He's brought us out of darkness and into light. And if you the band want to come up, why don't we all stand and we come to worship? As you can probably guess, we're going to respond in worship and declaring his praises to him and to one another as well. And I just felt God put up this passage. It says that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. And the guy writing this, Peter, he was imprisoned for being a Christian, right? And then God miraculously broke him out. And the dungeon that he would have been in would have been darkness. I just feel there's a bit of Peter's kind of coming out, my experience. He called me out of a dark dungeon and into his wonderful light. And that's like what God has done for us. He has, it's like we were all in our own kind of individual dungeons in darkness. And then he called us out and we broke out of the dungeon into this kind of marvelous light. And we're now all in this light together. And together we just think, we talk about, God broke me out too. Isn't he amazing? We declare his praises to one another. We declare his praises to him. We sing and we make much of God. So I'm just going to pray. I want to pray for us as a site. I want to pray that we worship and enjoy God more. So do pray with me again. I'm leading us in here, but there's no special anointing. It's all of our hearts together. We are his church together. So let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for your grace that you have called us out. Individually, you called us all out of our own dungeon into light. And now we together stand in the light. And we are your people. I do pray for Grace Church in Havant that we would declare your praises together. Would we know our family relation to one another, Lord? bind us in together. Thank you so much for bringing in, that we've got new members to celebrate. I pray that we would just celebrate that, not just kind of in this sense, but in life. We're so excited. Oh yeah, we're together. What a privilege. What an honor. We're so humbled, Lord, by everyone's service. Kids work going on now. Yes, because we're about it together. It doesn't rest on me, it doesn't rest on anyone. I just pray, remind us of our sense of community. And I pray, Lord, would you just free us into worshipping you as well. Give us a new, in a time to worship, would there be a new just excitement about them together as we all contribute in that way. I pray that you would release us into mission. I pray this sports party would be just amazing because we just love it together, declaring his praises to one another, to others. I pray for Alpha, Lord, give it an amazing time where we just are excited to just tell others about how God has blessed us. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you that you have brought us in to be a family together. I pray we would know that we're a family. I pray that you'd send us to declare your praises and love doing it. Just bring us back to what Sam started, good news of great joy. That is it. We have good news. We're out in the marvelous light. We're out of our dungeon of darkness into light. Good news of great joy. Would we just worship you for it, Lord? Would we give you all that glory, all the praise, just because you're worthy of it all? We love you. We're going to sing and lift up your name together as your people, your family. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together and worship together.